This upcoming election will be the most secure election Texas has ever had. And we are very, very focused on that. So I want Texans to be assured that this coming election, their vote will count. Their vote will count and will be secure.
Hey, y'all. This is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey, everybody, we've got an early release this week. And I'm really excited about this one because our guest today is someone I have never talked to on the podcast.
No.
Even though you've been on the podcast.
She listens to the podcast every week.
Talks about it. She knows it better than I do. Yeah. She brings up things and I'm like, did we have that on?
Did we say that?
Yeah.
She's more involved.
Wait, we said that?
Yeah. That's news to me.
And she has been on with us once before, I think.
Yep.
But I was off that week.
I was co-hosting with Whiteley.
On one of your much needed vacations. You know what I like about this episode also is that Wheeler is so vibrant today. He's in a great mood. Because he only has to do some work today. He doesn't have to do a lot of stuff, so he's really happy about it.
No, it's not that. I got locked out of work. And this has happened to everybody, you know, because every place now has these security measures and so forth, and
we'll
I left my stuff behind. And so I got locked out of work, and it took a very, very long time for me to go through the process.
Why didn't you call me to let you in?
You know why? Because I am one of those people, and I have been faulted for this again and again, and I keep saying I'm going to work on it. I refuse to ask for help.
Release the control.
I mean, I can be in dire straits and I will not ask for help. I just won't do it.
Yeah. Wow. You and Captain Awesome.
He's the same way?
He's the same way, yes. Wow.
And part of it is the accountability part of it where I'll think, I'm the one who left my stuff behind. I should be the one who has to figure this out.
Wow. Well, if anybody needs a beer today, you know who it is.
Yes, and you brought
and,
some.
So I was speaking at an event last night in Fort Worth, and they too are fans of Y'allitics. So this is the Greater Fort Worth Builders Association. Made a contribution to our staff here.
All right, let's see.
And they gave us a portable.
Wow.
Oh, wow. You got swag out of this.
Well, they invited you to go, too, and you didn't answer the email, I don't think. But
they didn't want me.
It was great.
They wanted you.
And they said, you know what? We think that Fort Worth is underrepresented when it comes to beer on your podcast.
That's a nice cooler they gave you there.
You can't have it.
Is it a cooler from them, too?
Yes.
Wow.
So they said Fort Worth is underrepresented. So, hey, here's a lot of here's Fort Worth beer. And we even got some fruity beer for Wheeler.
Because oh, my God.
We know Wheeler likes fruity beer.
They know me.
And I haven't looked at it yet, so... Let's see what we have.
Let me see these. Oh, this one looks like it might be mine.
That's purple, so it's probably got some fruit in it.
Purple and yellow here.
This is...
does it say? This one doesn't say what it is.
Panther Island. Hazy IPA, maybe?
Okay, so y'all can have an IPA.
Okay.
Let's see what else we have here.
This is just called the Clara, and it's from...
Rawr and Sons.
Yes.
Oh, well,
Cynthia,
I bet you that's good.
Cynthia called hers out immediately here.
She knew what she wanted.
All right, thank you.
Wait, what is that one?
This is Oktoberfest, so it's a darker beer.
Yeah.
This one must be the fruity one, then. The Clara.
And look, he's taking all four. Are you kidding
me? All four of these, and they're tall.
So James Rodriguez and staff at the Greater Fort Worth Builders Association, thanks for having me, number one. I'll bring Wheeler next year.
Was I really invited to that?
And thanks for the beer this week.
Was I really invited to that?
You were.
Oh. I didn't know I was invited.
I asked you for weeks, and you know, you never returned my texts.
Oh, I think you asked me like 6 months ago. I don't commit to anything 6 months out. It's too
hard. We were talking about that earlier, right, Whiteley? That's how they get you. They ask you early on. You forget about it.
Yes. And let me tell you something. I can't even get myself into my place of work on the day of. I can't plan something 6 months out.
Bro, have some beer. Have some beer. Relax. Take the edge off here. We got to talk about politics here, all right? But I am curious what this is. This is...
That's interesting.
I can't pronounce some of this stuff.
Oh, you
peel melon?
I see now. This Clara one, you peel it off.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Let me open this up.
My first beer in 25 years.
Oh, wow.
What?
Are you kidding?
No.
Wow,
I haven't had a beer in 25 years.
How have you not had a beer in 25 years?
Because I had one 25 years ago. And
you didn't like it?
Didn't like it.
Did you know beer is involved in our podcast?
Which is why I came. When in Rome.
She hasn't had a beer in 25 years.
That is
I've not
great.
Had a beer.
You don't like beer?
No.
But you knew that immediately and you reached out for it.
Because Jeremy likes beer, and so we have been to Rahr and Sons before.
Oh.
And I just had, like, you know, carbonated water and lime.
Since you haven't had one in 25 years, Daryl, can we please zoom in on her face when she takes this first swig?
Have you had it yet?
Just to see how
no,
this goes.
No, I haven't had it yet. Here we go.
Go ahead.
Hey, it's pretty good. Oh, it's pretty good. But I also came with that attitude that it was going to be good.
At least somebody brought a good attitude to this episode because
I needed
Mr.
the balance.
Happy over here.
I needed the balance.
So
I have calmed down considerably.
His hands are shaking. You see his hands shaking? The other thing that we need to raise a toast to, this is our 300th episode.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Which, I didn't know that. I knew we were close.
We're close, yeah.
And, we're also close to another milestone, and we'll talk about that another
Don't
day.
Jinx us, because this could be our last episode.
Nothing can go wrong now.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
When we hit that one, we'll talk about that one as well. But
wow, 300 episodes. This podcast started way back when in late 2019, before the 2020 election, and it was supposed to be this experiment that we were going to do for maybe 6 months.
Right.
And here we are, you know, 5 years later.
I had no gray hair at the time.
Wait, how many years? 5 years later.
5 years later.
Yeah.
300 episodes.
Yeah.
And you also didn't have ads back then.
Yeah.
We didn't, yeah. So,
ads are a good thing.
Yes, they are.
By the way, we have not introduced you yet, for people who do not know. This is
we
Cynthia.
Should just restart this whole thing, man.
I know.
This whole episode.
So Cynthia Isigire, she is the main anchor at WFAA-TV in Dallas. And she is our guest today because she got the get.
Scored the big interview.
Huge.
Well, weren't doing your job, so someone had to pick up the slack.
Yeah, clearly. But you got the interview that no one in the state has gotten. It's Secretary of State Jane Nelson, and she was a state senator representing part of North Texas for years, several decades.
Yeah.
And even then, I don't think I'd report anything bad on her, but she still wouldn't come on the program then.
And for people who don't know, the Secretary of State's office handles a lot of things, and one of those huge things is that they oversee elections here in this state. I'm curious, since no one ever gets her, how did you get her?
Well, she and I kind of live in the same area, and I frequent some of the same charities that she does, and so I've known her for more than a decade. And she gave me her cell phone several years ago at a charity event, and I've called her for a couple of interviews throughout the years when she was in the Senate, and she respectfully declined.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year, on Monday, first day of early voting, I looked over at the TV, I saw the ad that was playing from the Secretary of State's office, and I thought, oh wow, I did a double take, and I'll tell you why I did a double take in a minute. And then I thought, you know, I need to reach out to her again. I reached out to her, and she said, yes, we need to talk. You know, she's been on this big voter education campaign, making sure that people understand how the process works. Like you said, she oversees the administration of the elections here. And she just wants to educate people. You know, as you know, she's a former teacher, so this is her jam. And so she said yes, and we sat down for a 37-minute conversation.
Yeah. Did you know she was a former teacher?
I did not.
I didn't either. But anyway,
we really haven't been doing our jobs.
Top 12-year-olds.
Did she really?
Mm-hmm. And loved it.
You know, let's set up though. She is a power player. For years, she would write the state budget for the state senate, and she is one of the people behind the scenes that has the respect of the lieutenant governor, the governor that you know the governor appointed her to SOS. She is really somebody who makes things happen. That's why she is such a big get, and people have wanted to hear from her about a number of topics over the years. So you saw an ad where she's trying to prevent misinformation from seeping into society, right? Mm-hmm.
Is that why she wanted to talk?
She wanted to talk because, like I said, education is very important to her, and she doesn't feel like a lot of people really understand what the Secretary of State's job is because she really didn't know until she took the position.
Huh.
And so this was her opportunity to let voters know your vote counts, it matters, it's protected. If you have any questions, she kept repeating votetexas.gov.
Mm-hmm.
Everything and anything you could ever want to know about voting is there, votetexas.gov. And if you still have questions after that, reach out to her office. Mm-hmm. She assures you someone will get back to you.
I want to ask you this, because sometimes when you get these people who shy away from doing much media at all, they try to put some parameters on the interview and tell you, like, hey, you know, let's just try to keep it here. I don't really want to go over here or go over there and talk about those things. You're not, you know, obligated by that, but they'll say that. What did she put any, you know, places that you couldn't go or that she didn't want you to go?
Nothing. Hmm. She really values transparency. She believes that's what's been a big part of her success, both politically and personally. And so she never put parameters and said, let's do it. And she said, and I know that it will be fair and firm.
Wow.
What kind of reaction have you had? Part of this has already aired on TV on the 10 o'clock news.
And there's news made in it.
There's a lot of news made in it. What's the reaction that you've had?
Just thank you for interviewing the Secretary of State, and we're going to watch the interview.
Yeah. So, well, let's lay out some of the news that you made in that, because she wanted to talk about misinformation and making sure voters understood, you know, what to do when they go vote. But you also asked her some hard questions. You know, you were doing our jobs there. So thank you for that. but let's start with that. So the first thing is about this lawsuit that she and the Attorney General have against the federal government. And they're suing the federal government to try to get citizenship data on thousands of Texans who applied to vote and have their voting card, voting registration, but Texas is all of a sudden not sure if these people are citizens or not.
And we saw this huge number originally when they put the press release out.
450,000, but the reality, she told you, the number is much smaller than that.
And yeah, she said, listen, it's a much more narrow number. She said, we're talking about 6,500 people, possibly a lot more narrow than that. But when every vote counts, you have to make sure that everyone is voting legally.
But you have a paper there. I mean, to be clear here, you can use several different forms
Seven
of ID.
Forms.
It doesn't have to be a license.
No, it doesn't have to be a driver's license. You can use a passport, a Texas handgun license. You can use a Texas election ID certification card. There are seven different forms. So these people used one of those forms to register, just not a valid Texas driver's license.
You know, well, I'm interested too in one of the things that you got into in this, because we've done a couple of podcasts on this now on ERIC, the system that, you know, states use.
What's it called?
The Electronic Registration Information
System.
Thought I was going to catch you, man.
No, not system.
You try to catch me.
Center.
Yes.
Thank you, Michael McCardle. Yeah. Shout out to Michael. That would be a C at the end, not an S. It's not ERIS. So this is, you know, what states use to cross-check to make sure that people aren't crossing state lines and voting in multiple elections. And Texas, of course, pulled out of this back in 2023. And the state has a law that says it's supposed to have a system like this. And so essentially the state has kind of been in violation of its own law there. And we've spoken with people on background who keep telling us, you know, we're a few months away. We're going to have a different, but we're going to have a backup plan in place. And it has never materialized. And you actually got her on the record on this.
Yeah, I did. And I asked her if we were in violation of our own law. And we'll toss to the sound and you'll see her response. But I know that you guys have been following this on Yolitics. Mm-hmm. So I knew to ask her. ERIC went away. It went away in 2023, July of 2023. When is something similar, some specialized software program coming back to cross-check voters? And she said, it's coming back soon. And I said, well, we have been asking your office, and everyone keeps telling us that, but can you firmly say when? And she said, before the end of the year.
Wow.
That's a commitment.
That is a commitment. It's striking.
That's coming up.
Yeah, it's striking to think that could happen. I mean, we're what, 70 days out right now? And that could happen? ERIC, though, is important because, what, more than half the states use some form of this way to scrub the rolls to make sure that, you know, I'm not voting here and in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Because it won't impact the big elections, it will impact the small elections. The other interesting thing I think that it's worth pointing out about Jane Nelson, we should have said this early on, she is a diehard Republican. Mm-hmm. She has the full confidence of the Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, the full confidence of the governor of this state. And when she is concerned and wanting to sit in front of you and your camera and talk about voter misinformation, to me that says a lot about how safe the Texas election is. Mm-hmm.
And she said, let me make it very clear, this will be the safest election in the history of Texas elections. And she is backing that up. She, like I said, has had a campaign to educate voters, also to educate elections officials. Mm. And it's something that they have been doing since before the primaries, something she takes very seriously. And she sent out a very firm warning against some people who might show up to polling locations angry.
Yeah, I think it says something, though, that as Jason says, you know, that she, of all people, is saying, hey, you know what, I've got some concerns here, and I want to allay these concerns and other people's worries, and I want to go on. This is somebody who really doesn't do this often.
Yeah, and her biggest concern, really, guys, is the cell phone.
Yeah.
And what happens when we post things on social media
that
are not true, and they go viral like we saw
happened
in Tarrant County the first day of early voting. Mm-hmm. And I specifically asked her about that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very frank about her feelings concerning that matter.
What is that old adage about fake news or misinformation makes it, what is it, halfway around the world or all the way around the world by the time truth gets its shoes on or something like that?
Millions of people.
Very true, though.
Millions of people saw what happened on Monday. In white settlement.
Mm-hmm. What Donald Trump or the Trump campaign, someone shared that out and exploded and caught on fire. And it wasn't true. And that's what's remarkable about this. The interview is 37 minutes long. You guys didn't go to a nice studio to do this. We'll loan you the Yaltic studio whenever you want to, Cynthia, in the future.
Well, I like
where we were. Where were you? You were in Grapevine?
We were in downtown Grapevine. We were in a gazebo. I talked with Chief Meteorologist Pete Delkus, since we've been having some record temperatures this month.
And we I'm want you ladies to melt.
I know, you
We don't want you to melt. A good idea.
And, and he's like, come on, Cynthia, it's 91, you're not going to melt, all right?
You'll live, it's 37 minutes out there. So I wish we had done this podcast from there.
It was
great. Because there would be no security, like I wouldn't have trouble getting in, you know,
that's
but it was
another reason he's upset. So
I had to play with Whiteley's schedule.
You know, blowing our hair in the right direction.
In the right direction. but it's a 37-minute long interview, and you know, I was watching it and going through it because we use excerpts of it on our political program, Inside Texas Politics, and we use the political parts on ITP, but you got into some personal things with her as well. So this just wasn't, you took full advantage of this rare opportunity to interview her, and it wasn't just political. There's personal things in there, and you could tell that you guys know each other.
Yeah, we do, and there is a mutual respect there. Mm-hmm. And earlier, I talked about doing the double take when I saw her on the ad, and the double take was I could tell that she's lost some weight, a significant amount of weight, and she looks fantastic. Mm. She looks incredible. And so I asked her about it, and she was very transparent about it. And she said, look, it was time to transform my health. She's got a daughter who is very, very helpful with these things. And she told her mom, let's help you get on a better health track. And she cut out high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big one.
It's in a lot of things. Yeah.
Sugar, starches, and she has transformed.
Wow. All sugar and starches? Jeez.
It's hard. And they reintroduce some of it, but now she's educated on what we can put in our bodies to really fuel us the right way.
Wow, good on you, Jane Nelson. That's the hard stuff.
It is a candid interview. It's a huge score. Thanks for sharing this with us, and we want to play the interview right now.
Thanks, guys.
Take a look at it here.
Hey, y'all. This is where Texas politics gets interesting. For another smart conversation on Eolitics.
Thank you for making time for us, Secretary Nelson. And I know that you've got some numbers right now that you want to share as of today from the Secretary of State's office.
Yes, we are really happy to report that early voting numbers are record-breaking. We have now, as of right now, 2.6 million Texans have early voted in this election. That's about 14% of all registered voters. And of course, our numbers for registered voters in Texas is up. So we're seeing a wonderful, very healthy turnout for early voting.
Why do you think we're seeing this healthy turnout more so now than the previous 4 years?
Well, of course, in presidential election years, you always have a bigger turnout, but and we have more Texans now than we had 4 years ago. But also, there's been a lot of effort on the part of many entities to help voters, under potential voters, understand why it's important to vote. We, in fact, at the Secretary of State's office, have a voter education campaign that we've been operating since before the primary in telling people how they can get registered to vote, what they need to do to be a voter in Texas. And so an awareness that is there on the part of potential voters to get them to sign up, register, and then to go vote, I think has been very well conducted.
And you want to make sure and clear that everyone knows the role of the Secretary of State.
Yes, yes. When I served in the Texas Senate for 30 years, and I thought I knew everything the Secretary of State was responsible for. Since assuming this role, I've learned so much about the responsibilities that I wasn't aware of before. Most people know that the Secretary of State is responsible for the administration of the elections in the state of Texas, and I would say that's our most important job. The Secretary of State also is responsible for all business and government filings in the state. If you want to do business in Texas, you have to file with the Secretary of State's office if you want to change business titles. Last year alone, we processed 12.5 million applications, documents in the Secretary of State's office, and that includes business and government filings. But tremendous role and responsibility. Secretary of State also chairs a wonderful committee called Border Trade Advisory Committee. We meet 4 times a year by statute and deal with border trade with our most important trade partner, Mexico. That is a job that I didn't know, and because I am Secretary of State, I automatically chair that committee. It has been a wonderful opportunity.
Eye-opening.
Yes. I am also the International Protocol Officer for the state of Texas, and the governor calls me his ambassador to the world. So we, of course, there's a lot of interest on the part of other countries for doing business in Texas, for interacting with Texans, both culturally, business, economically, and I am the protocol officer for that. So that's been a really fun job for me as well.
Well, thank you for further clarifying the role of the Secretary of State. I want to jump back in with these record early voting numbers. I want to talk about what happened on Monday in Tarrant County. As early voting began, we now know a voter made a mistake on his ballot and it was rectified. But how it was portrayed on social media for millions of people to see was that the machine purposefully switched his vote. Can we talk about the damage misinformation like this creates?
Yes, I'd like to talk about that. You know, rumors and misinformation has always been a part of elections. What has amplified that, though, is social media. And it's rumors catch fire. That is a perfect example of what actually happened and what was rumored and then amplified as truth. And it's very difficult to counter that with the actual fact. And thank you to WFAA for making sure people understood what was really going on there. We work so hard to make sure that the elections in Texas are secure, that they are done. We work so hard to maintain the integrity of the election process, to make sure that every vote counts, that we're counting every vote, that we go through a huge process to inspect every single machine, to train all the people who are working in our county election administrators' offices and down to the precinct level. And what is damaging is that sometimes when these rumors and misinformation get out there and get amplified, it could discourage somebody from voting and thinking their vote doesn't count. And I want to counter that. I want to assure Texans that Texas is known all over this country for having the example of what other states should do to provide secure elections to its voters.
And like you say, a lot of misinformation continues to hit the news and social media when it comes to voting. So as Secretary of State, I was curious, do you take it personally when people attack the process?
No, I learned a long time ago not to take things personally. But I consider my responsibility as Secretary of State to be really a sacred responsibility to protect the sanctity of the vote. And for people to worry about whether their vote counts is important to me. I want to assure people that their vote counts and we're going to protect that vote. You know, my dad was a World War II veteran. And when I was a little girl, he would talk about, and we always got to go with my parents when they voted, he would talk about how that right to vote is a sacred right. You know, he would say, "You, that's your voice. You are voting for people." And right now, the presidential election is getting a lot of attention. But the vote is not just for the president. It's all the way up and down that ballot. So you're voting for people who are going to be making decisions that affect your life at every level, county, state, national. And that's your voice. Your vote is your voice. And my dad, boy, he instilled in us that you have to vote. That's one of your most important rights.
And in protecting that right, I know that this week you and Attorney General Ken Paxton sued the federal government for refusing to verify the citizenship status of potentially ineligible voters on Texas voter rolls. So you're talking about 450,000 voters whose citizen status has never been checked because they registered not using a Texas driver's license, but instead one of the other forms. So what is the concern specifically about these 450,000 registered voters?
Oh boy, well, there's several questions there to answer, because first of all, that 450,000 number is a number that I'd like to narrow down some. We in Texas every day go through a process of going through voter applications, registrations, making sure these are qualified Texans. And over the past 4 years, we've probably taken about 1 million people off of the rolls. Now, the greatest number there are people who have moved out of state. Second, unfortunately, would be people who've passed away. And so when you narrow that, we finally ended up with really about 6,500 people who are, we need to verify whether they're citizens or not. We do a pretty good job of narrowing that down through Department of Public Safety. When people go in to apply for a driver's license, they're asked, are you a citizen or not a citizen? And of course, you are not permitted to vote if you're not a citizen of this country. But most of those are defined when they go to apply for a driver's license. Then there are other sources, too. If somebody is, if they get their jury duty summons, they're asked there, are you a citizen? And any that show up there as non-citizens, that feeds into us. And there are other ways. But so we've narrowed it down, but we need to have a way. I don't want anyone who is qualified to vote to be denied that vote. That would be terrible. I also want to make sure that nobody who's not a citizen is trying to vote, which is against the law, by the way. And so we are trying to get from the federal government a way to submit those names that we haven't been able to narrow down to find out whether these people are citizens or not. And that takes us to the question that you asked about, we have asked the federal government formally to tell us how we can get those names to them and find out. And we're still, at this point, trying to get to that process.
It's close to the election, though. Why wait till this point where the federal government isn't going to be able to do anything before November 5th? And doesn't this lawsuit itself then have the potential to create misinformation?
Right. Why wait? We haven't waited. We've waited to sue because we thought that we would be able to get this information and or for them to tell us how to do this without, unfortunately, much cooperation. We should be able to get. And in fact, Congress had a bill that would require a nationwide, but it didn't pass. Anyway, we haven't waited, but we've waited to enter into a lawsuit to try to, we've got to be able, there has to be a better way. There has to be a better way. And
but why not, why didn't y'all do this a year ago, file the lawsuit?
Because we thought we would get better cooperation. And we've asked and we've asked and we've asked and tried in different ways. We thought maybe the federal legislation would pass and that would provide a path.
But they did register with one of these other forms, right? It just wasn't with the valid Texas driver's license, right?
Well, here's the process. When and we are catching, I think the number is much lower than the 6,500 number of potential non-citizens. But when somebody applies for a driver's license, we are able to, they enter on there, and nobody is issued a driver's license. They're issued a limited, there's a term for it, a limited term, limited technology maybe, driver's license that has that stamped on it. So we would know that that person didn't show documentation that they were a citizen. Now, here's the issue, though, with those 6,500 people. Between the time they were issued that limited driver's license, that could have been a person that became a naturalized citizen, which does entitle them to vote. And so, and I want to give them that privilege. In fact, if they're a naturalized citizen, they probably really, really take that to heart, that right. So what we're doing now is if somebody, and I've sent instructions to all 254 counties, if they come in with one of those limited driver's licenses, if they have a driver's license they show as their photo ID, they're entitled to vote.
Or a passport.
Or a passport. There's seven different forms right. of identification. But if they have one of those limited driver's licenses, they also are they can fill out a provisional ballot, but they've got to prove with a naturalized citizen documentation that they have, since that has been issued, become a naturalized citizen. They'll be able to fill out a provisional ballot, and if they can come in and show that, fine.
So in 2020, the Texas legislature passed a law saying that we have to have specialized software to keep the voter rolls clean,
yes.
like preventing double votes and voter fraud. Texas and many other states were using a system called ERIC, Electronic Registration Information Center. But in 2023, Texas pulled out of that system, and we have yet to replace it. Doesn't that put us in violation of our very own law?
No. ERIC was a system that was participated in by quite a few states, Texas being one of them, that helped us change to exchange information, for example, if somebody moved from one state to the other or some other things that we could share. States were pulling out of ERIC, and so the information that we were, and Texas was paying a pretty hefty price to participate, the legislature decided they didn't want us to participate anymore. So what we as an agency had to do and are doing is coming up with a process to replace that will accomplish the same goals. I have to tell you, with so many other states pulling out the information
there
that we were
others.
Getting, big population states, the information we were getting was not as useful as I think we can develop on our own. And we've been working on developing a substitute. Many of the things that we are doing were what ERIC did. We've got memorandums of understandings with other states that allow us to, you know, we share our information with them, they share it with us about who's moved. We, of course, check to see if people are deceased. We have, what we're trying to get from the federal government is, citizenship verification. And we will have a replacement developed before the deadline that the legislature gave us. And I think it'll be a probably better process.
When was the deadline? Next May?
You know, I'd have to look at the legislation to see, but we haven't met it yet.
Because we were told that there was a replacement coming in the next couple of months. What's the update on that?
Yep. Would, yep.
Like
there will be.
Before the end of the year?
If I can get through these. these elections. Yes, we're very close to having a replacement. We are doing everything that Eric did. We're just doing it in many different ways, and we'd like to have it all put together in a, you know, central and a formalized process that we go through.
So for the people who are concerned that Eric went away and hasn't been replaced yet, does it make this upcoming election less secure?
No. This upcoming election will be the most secure election Texas has ever had. And we are very, very focused on that. So I want Texans to be assured that this coming election, their vote will count. Their vote will count and will be secure. Privacy is a big issue. You know, we've had to balance. Transparency has been a big focus over the last 4 years, and the legislature's passed some very good legislation to provide a more transparent process. But at the same time, privacy is a huge issue, and people want to know that what's their vote is kept secret and secure. And so balancing that too has been a real challenge, but we're going to do that. I've talked to some legislators about potential legislation that may make it even better next time.
So how do you reassure the public about fairness and integrity of this election to your best ability when voters on both sides fear improprieties?
Yes. I'm a former teacher. And I think
God bless you.
Education is always the answer. If people will go, we have a website called votetexas.gov. Votetexas.gov.
That's where I got this list.
Good. If people will go to that website, it tells everything that we have done to make sure. We've been working since well over a year, laser focused on making sure this election is done properly, that a person's vote is kept private and secure, that things are as open and transparent. If people understood what the processes are before, during, and after an election to make sure their ballot is kept secure, I think they'd be very impressed. I would advise people to go work for an election, be a poll watcher, go work. They'll see how, I got to tell you, till I got this office, I didn't know all of the processes that we go through, many new that have been put into place.
You mentioned the poll watchers.
Yes.
So what is their job? What are they allowed and not allowed to do? Is there training?
There is training. They are there to watch, to be, you know, extra eyes on the process to make sure that everything is being done above board. What they can't do is interfere with the process. We have some very enthusiastic people who want to be poll watchers sometimes. There is a training so that they know you can be there, but you can't interfere. I also think it's real important for the public to know they are all poll watchers in a sense. If they ever believe that there has been an impropriety, either with their ballot, somebody else's ballot, or somebody casting a vote, go to votetexas.gov. They can file a formal complaint, and that complaint will be addressed, first of all, at the local level, and if it's not taken care of, at the Secretary of State's level. We also, it's important for the voters to know, the Secretary of State administers the election, but in Texas, the election is conducted at the county level. That also, by the way, keeps the elections even more secure. You have 254 very well-trained election administrators at every single county level, and you have some safeguards there. We at the Secretary of State's office are responsible for administering, overseeing the election process.
You mentioned the election administrators. In this country, it has been proven that violence is a possibility with elections. The voting public thinks about it now. So what do election administrators, what do they do differently in our 254 counties now to prepare for this possibility?
It is so unfortunate that, and I think social media exacerbates and maybe even sometimes encourages what I absolutely, my number one concern is the safety of the people. And God bless those people who are working our elections. That's what makes this country great, is that we have the opportunity to cast a vote. But those people who are working the polls need to know that we are protecting them. I have twice a year in Austin, we gather those election administrators and anybody else working at the elections that they want to bring in Austin to do some training. Education's important, and if they know how to do their job, do it well, any updates from the legislature. This year, we also brought in people to talk with them about how to de-escalate. We had a whole session on de-escalating some of the very angry people that might come in sometimes. I have the wonderful opportunity to go all around this state, and most people in this state are going about their daily business. They go in, they cast their vote, they go take their kids to the soccer game or go to the grocery store. They forget to thank the people working those elections, by the way. But there are some people, a very small number of people, who are angry about something.
And what is your message to them?
Well, my message to them is there are ways to address your concerns. There, first of all, you go and you talk to the person. By the way, posted at every election site in the state of Texas is how people can file a complaint, who they should talk to. And there's a person right there at their polling place they could talk to and voice their concerns. But do it in a nice way. Things do happen. Things do happen. There will be, with 18 million people hopefully casting their vote, there's going to be a glitch somewhere. And they may be rightfully concerned. We will address it. We will take care of it. That person in Tarrant County, if the ballot they cast, you should always, by the way, look and make sure that it is before you submit it. Make sure that's who. But if they look at that and see, wait a minute, this isn't who I pushed that button for, they can take that. They will, what we call, spoil the ballot. They'll put it in an envelope, give them a new ballot. In fact, they can do that with two extra new ballots. There are ways to deal with that. But anger is not, we all need to be a little kinder. Not just with elections, but with everything.
Totally. But if someone does get angry and goes to a poll and has disruptive behavior, what is your message to that
person? Well, threatening violence is against the law. And our election administrators are, we've unfortunately had to coach them through how to deal with angry people. And threatening violence is against the law. I'm sorry that we live in a world where people don't know how to control that anger sometimes. They have every right to be concerned. If there's a legitimate concern, call my office. File a complaint. We will make sure these elections are done properly. But threatening violence is unacceptable. And I will protect the people that are administering these elections.
When you saw that video go viral on Monday, what was your first thought to yourself? Be honest. What'd you think?
That we all need to turn off our cell phones. There are always going to be rumors and misinformation. And quite honestly, if they go to votetexas.gov, they can find out exactly what we're doing to prevent that kind of thing from occurring, or if it does occur, what somebody can do. That was one incident with, I don't remember, in Tarrant County, I think they had 58,000 people voted that day.
And to clarify, he made the mistake.
Right.
It wasn't the machine
right.
that switched up his vote.
Right. It amplified, and not just in Texas, but all over the country. And my reaction to that is, turn off your cell phones. Here's what you need to do. You need to make sure you are registered to vote. You need to go in and cast your vote. And by the way, take the proper form of ID with you. It'll make those lines go a lot faster.
I have mine ready to go.
Check your vote after you voted. Make sure it's properly reflecting who you want to vote for. Feed that in, get your sticker, and go home and live your lives. Thank somebody when you walk out the door, too.
Good reminder. Gillespie County did hand counting for the primary, and workers, as you know, did not finish on time. Is any county in Texas hand counting ballots?
To some extent, yes. Very small numbers at one point in the process. And we always hear this recommendation. In fact, there's been legislation proposed to require hand counting. You know, that isn't foolproof, by the way, either. And it did take a long time. You have to have a lot of volunteers. A lot. I think that Gillespie County was a good example for people to look at who are enthusiastic about hand counting to see what challenges they encountered.
Are they doing it again in the general?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure if they are or not.
Which counties are? You said there are.
I don't know off the top of my head which are and which aren't, but I don't think that.
Is that a financial strain?
Of course it is. Yes. And it's a. It's not as easy as it would seem, you know. Human error is definitely a factor in hand counting.
Poll workers, have there been any complaints of intimidation? It's already happened?
I'd rather not even answer yet. I'm always concerned. And again, I will protect the people who are doing this very important work. It is against the law to threaten someone.
You've talked about the record number of voters now registered in Texas.
Yes.
How rewarding is that for you?
Oh, very, very. We have a voter education endeavor going on since before the primary. And I got to go all over the state and you know, not tell people who to vote for, but to tell them how to vote. And I went to college campuses, and I went to community events. And it, first of all, I love going out and meeting Texans all over this state because we are so blessed to live in the best state in the whole nation. And to talk to young, probably first-time voters and tell them about my dad and why it's important to vote, sharing with them, making sure that our population is as well educated as we can make them in terms of what they need to take with them, get those lines moving. And it's very encouraging to see the enthusiasm for exercising their vote, no matter who they vote for, but exercising that very important privilege we have. It's very rewarding.
A few years ago, you were headed into retirement.
I retired.
But like Mike Corleone, we Texans pulled you right back in. Now you're tasked with managing a safe and secure election for millions of people. What's the thing that keeps you up at night?
I worry, and not just election related, I worry at the civility, or I will say the lack of civility, that is occurring in not just our state, but our whole nation right now. I worry, Cynthia, you know I have grandchildren.
And 12.
12, thank you. Why have we reached the point that we can't disagree agreeably? And that keeps me up at night, and very little worries me like that does. And it's not just elections. Of course I worry about, if my election workers are threatened, that worries me. the safety and security of the people who are working our elections concerns me. But that feeds into something bigger and even more important, and that is, why? What has happened? What can we do to help Texans be more civil to each other? And I think that will serve us well, not just with elections, but with everything we do.
Fill in the blank. If you walk into a poll location and threaten or intimidate one of our poll workers.
Yes, well, you law enforcement will step in. We have election workers. Oh my goodness, we have so many people, inspectors all across the state who are making sure the process goes smoothly. Sometimes it's just an education problem. People run into a glitch. But we have people watching all over the state to make sure that there isn't intimidation going on.
Anything we haven't talked about that you wanted to make sure you let the voters know what's on your mind right now?
Voters in Texas need to be assured that Texas elections will be more secure than they've ever been, that their vote matters, and that they need to go to votetexas.gov and see what they need to take with them so that they have the proper forms of identification and go exercise their privilege of voting.
And I will not let this interview end without bringing up the Jane Nelson Institute for Women Leadership.
Yeah.
This will be your legacy.
Yes. Texas Women's University has established a Women's Leadership Institute that is training young women in leadership in government, leadership in business, leadership in their communities. We've got women from all over Texas who have volunteered to mentor. We've got wonderful coaching going on, training, and this is bipartisan, by the way, but training young women. I wish I'd had that. I grew up in an era where I don't remember many women leaders in government or in business. And we need to be teaching future generations. Part of what we can learn and part of what the Institute provides, there's a wonderful little museum up there that talks about the suffragette movement and all the very successful women that there have been in Texas in politics and government and business. And by the way, suffragette, do you know my grandmother, when she turned 21, could not vote because she was a woman? That's hard to imagine.
That lights a fuel under you.
It lights a fuel under me. Do you know that when I turned 21, I could be denied the privilege of serving on a jury because I was a woman when I turned 21. That didn't happen until 1975. And you know, it's hard for us to imagine, but young women need to know, young men too, and understand that we've worked hard to gain those privileges, and we shouldn't forget that. But we also need to teach our young women and men how to be leaders, how to work together. We are all in this together. And if we show how we can accomplish success for all of us as a state, as a nation, we'll all be better off, and those kids and grandkids will be better off too.
Well, as we wrap up, I asked you if I could, if we could touch on this, but your transformation health-wise is admirable. Take us through your journey of your weight loss, of everything.
Yes. Well, sometimes we reach a point that we have not been paying as much attention to ourselves as we should. Women are notorious for that, by the way. We take care of the health of everybody else in our family. We forget about ourselves.
Fall apart.
And my doctor told me quite bluntly, you need to take off some of that weight and you need to get some of the stress out of your life. Woo! People ask me what I've done because, thank you for noticing, but I've been very successful. It's pretty basic. You got to cut out the junk that you're eating. And I started, quite honestly, by reading labels and getting rid of high fructose corn syrup. Dropped 15 pounds. and then sugars, and then pastas, and you know, you've got to retrain yourself, and it's not easy at first, but I feel so much better. And then the next step was not sitting behind a desk all day long, but getting up and moving around, and the stress part, you know, that's the other thing that sometimes women are, we let stress fold into our bodies, and we know that stress affects everything from weight to, you know, a vulnerability to all kind of diseases.
Heart disease.
Yes, yes. And so I tried to learn different ways to deal with that stress.
Do you have some people who automatically assume Ozempic?
Yeah, of course. But you know, there's a much cheaper, easier way to do that, and that is eat right and exercise and get the stress
You're
out.
You're so boring.
I know.
Thank you so much for your time, Secretary. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate your interest.
Click subscribe and get Y'all-itics every week. Y'all-itics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.